Well, for those of you old enough or resilient enough to have lived through the 2008-2009 passage of Obamacare being rammed down the throats of Americans by progressives without a single Republican vote, you may remember one of the more charming episodes of that time when the Democratic Party essentially came out and said, don't let opportunities like Christmas and Thanksgiving pass without a chance to go and educate your racist, ignorant, stupid, misogynist, homophobic, Islamophobic parents, family, and other close relatives on the benefits of Obamacare. Take Thanksgiving. Take a moment at the Thanksgiving table. This is what they said to do, to enlighten them about the benefits of Obamacare. And I remember thinking, and you probably did too, what kind of person does something like that? I mean, what kind of killbot does something like that? Who shows up at a family gathering where people you see at best probably once a year, and often maybe not for the last several years, loved ones, families who you may disagree with on things, who views that as an opportunity to proselytize all of them into thinking exactly the way you do based on what your superiors have told you to think? Who does it? It was inconceivable to me. I couldn't connect to it. But nevertheless, there it was, and a lot of people did it. Now, for those of you who think that that kind of insanity is a thing of the past or just a one-off, we found this charming tweet today on Instapundit. Many of us are getting vaccinated and will be seeing extended family for the first time in a long time soon. I'm with you, Sarah Jane. It'll be good. Be good to get back and see people we haven't seen for a long time. Well, I'm sorry, there's more. There will be a desire to avoid hard conversations since you've missed them. Don't do it. Start preparing now to call out your racist relatives. There are no excuses. What a charming person. I'm sure she's just absolutely delightful to date. And I'm sure having her at the Thanksgiving table, no matter what your background is just a joy. Well, our mission here at BillWhittle.com, of course, is to follow the science wherever it may lead us. And as it turns out, we just saw a report about some actual science that was actually done on people like Sarah Jane Glynn. What percentage of progressives, especially young progressive women, do you think hold these kind of problematic opinions about interpersonal relations? Do you think it's 5%? Could it be 10%? I mean, 10% of a population with a serious, you know, emotional disorder is significant. Well, a Pew Research, as I said, has done a study on that, and they found that the percentage of young liberal women that exhibit clinical signs of mental illness is actually, thank God, it's not 10%. It's 50%. 50%. And Pew didn't just discover that. They discovered something else, conveniently enough, and that was, how does this compare to moderates and conservatives? Because if 50% of young progressive women have mental disorders, emotional disorders, and conservatives have 80%, well, really a point that we would particularly want to trumpet, is it? But let's take a look at the research and see what the science is telling us. And in order to get this, we're going to go to that bastion of conservative thought, the kind of, oh, I don't know, let's just call it the intellectual center of conservatism. I'm speaking, of course, about Evie magazine. Here's what Evie had to say. Over 50% of liberal white women under 30 have a mental health issue. Are we worried yet? Question mark by Elizabeth Condra. This is going to knock you to your knees, but it turns out, no, I don't think they're too worried yet. Here's what the article says. A 2020 Pew Research study reveals that over half of white liberal women have been diagnosed with a mental health condition at some point. Does this mean there's a correlation between progressive ideas and mental health? Let's just stop right there, and let's go to what the actual data from the Pew Research Center shows. Now, as you can see here, here are three different sets of bar graphs, and they're a little bit confusing, so I'll put a little box around them. The set on the left is white liberals. The set in the middle are white moderates, and the set to the right are white conservatives. And the question is, has a doctor or other health care provider ever told you that you have a mental health condition? And this is the percentage that says yes. Now, if you look at these three sets of data, you can see that when it comes to white liberal women, the number of respondents who said yes was 56.3%. If you look at white conservative women, you see the number is 27.3%, and moderates are a little higher at 28.4%. In other words, as you can see from this chart, white progressives are significantly more prone to be diagnosed with emotional problems than white moderates, and white moderates are significantly more prone to be diagnosed than white conservatives, although not by as much of an amount. So does this mean that that the people on the opposite side of the aisle from us are crazy? Is that what this science seems to be indicating? You know, I don't want to come out and say that. But if you can add, might draw your own conclusions on this one. Let's look at some of the explanations that's proffered for all of this in EV Magazine here. But what if what was once a cheap shot or personal insult has actually been found to bear scientific correlation between the individuals who hold progressive ideologies and an increased risk of mental illness? That's exactly what Pew Research has found. And all politics aside, the shocking diagnosis of over 50% of liberal women with some form of mental health medical diagnosis is a public health concern that no one seems to be discussing, let alone taking seriously. And when they say that no one seems to be discussing, let alone taking seriously, they're referring to the fact that the 50% of women who have been diagnosed with emotional problems aren't discussing it or taking it seriously. The rest of us have been discussing it and taking it seriously for quite a long time now. Let's continue. But biology and hormones aside, what about the choices we actively engage in, the behaviors we indulge, the beliefs and convictions we hold as more important than all the others? The people we spend our time with, the actions we devote our energy to, and the news we consume. Is that negatively impacting our mental health, or even more importantly, leading to medical diagnoses? And now we get to the heart of the argument, which is really the classic chicken and the egg argument. Does progressive politics make people nuts, or are crazy people drawn to progressive politics? And I'm kind of inclined to think it's the latter. You have to go back to that tweet we started just a little while ago. I mean, think about that. It starts off on an optimistic note. Well, at least I consider it to be an optimistic note. Not everybody's pleased about the ending of this COVID-19 restrictions, but I am. I can't wait to go and see family again. It's been so long. I can't wait to get together with old friends and family. But don't let that soften your ideological imperative to call all of them racist and misogynists and homophobes and all the rest of it. You have no excuses. Get out there and confront them. Now, that's not so much a political ideology to me as it is just not a very nice person, an unhappy person, a really unhappy person. I don't know. I was a very unhappy person for most of my life, too. It's probably a coincidence. That's when I was at my most liberal, although I was never what you would call a progressive. But generally, that's pretty much true. So which is it? Which is it? Let's dig a little deeper into the research. Dr. Lyle Rossiter, a board-certified psychiatrist who's treated mental disorders for over 30 years, agrees and adds that white liberalism thrives on supposedly championing workers, minorities, the little guy, women, and the unemployed, who they continuously see as wronged, cheated, oppressed, disenfranchised, exploited, and victimized with little to no agency of their own. A view that often mutates into the infantilizing and patronizing of certain groups within a narrative. The people responsible for these crimes? As Rossiter tells it, quote, poverty, disease, war, ignorance, unemployment, racial prejudice, ethnic and gender discrimination, modern technology, capitalism, globalization, and imperialism. In the radical liberal mind, this suffering is inflicted on the innocent by various predators and persecutors. Big business, big corporations, greedy capitalists, U.S. imperialists, the oppressors, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, and the selfish. Let me clarify that last little bit for you here. That inherent in that worldview, that everybody out there, the poor, homosexuals, the dispossessed, on and on and on and on and on. None of them are real people. None of them are capable of making actions or decisions on their own. None of them are capable of resisting oppression on their own. None of them are capable of rising above repression on their own. None of them are capable of doing anything but continuing to suffer until some white liberal comes along to raise them up out of their misery. And who are the oppressors in this case? Well, let's see again. It's big business, big corporations. Small distinction. Greedy capitalists, U.S. imperialists, the oppressors, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, and the selfish. So those people are oppressing the other people, and it's up to the white liberals to stand in the way and to prevent these helpless little lambs from being taken advantage of by these rapacious wolves. And to the degree that they're not successful in doing this, this leads them to be mentally unhappy and unstable. Okay, now we get down to a brass tacks, because here's an article from April 12th by my good friend, I'm not above dropping names like this one, John Nolte. And John Nolte writes at Breitbart, and here's the headline, "Rural Trump voters already live in the safe, tolerant utopia leftists claim to want." And he's right. And we know this. That's why you're watching the show. We know that rural America, America, red America, is not a land of racists and oppressors and people who are just looking for every opportunity to keep, let's just say off the top of our head, black people down. On the contrary, they're filled with people who want to see everybody rise, want to see everybody succeed. And so what the dynamic is here is if you go into red state America, what you find is a country with no gun violence, very little crime, if any, very little, if any, racial intolerance, law and order, the ability to walk the streets at night in safety. That's red America. And if you take blue America out of red America in terms of statistics, the United States becomes essentially the safest place in the world. I covered this in one of my firewalls that I like very much called Number One with a Bullet, which we're linking to below. Number One with a Bullet has the actual statistics. If you take progressive America out of America, if you take the statistics from progressive America, you know, inner cities, out of America, then America is paradise. It is the safest, cleanest, most advanced, highly educated, kindest, most diverse country in the world. And now we get down to the root of the actual mental illness here. Because what's actually happening is people are driving themselves crazy by believing that a fictional enemy is creating a problem that only they can solve. But since the fictional enemy is, you know, fictional, there is no practical way to solve this problem, which is why again and 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 again, I think without exception, every time you hear about Nazi writing on a wall or anti-black graffiti on a college campus or somebody being beaten up and harassed by Trump supporters because they're gay or black, every single time, it is a progressive acting out of frustration because the enemy that they have pinned their entire mental ill philosophy on doesn't exist. And so they have to be created. That's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with people who are barking mad, who have decided that Trump supporters and Republicans and conservatives are the problem when any walk into conservative America shows you precisely the opposite. This is where the diversity really is. This is where the racial harmony really is. This is where the opportunity really is. It's where the safety really is. It's where the friendliness really is. It's where the family really is. Red state America is the place you go to Thanksgiving. And if you have relatives who you disagree with, you decide not to talk about those things because we just kind of want to get along. And so when you have a philosophy that makes good people into the villains, these people drive themselves insane by trying to find the concrete examples of the villains doing villainous things. And when it doesn't happen, they have to invent evidence to prove their own theories to themselves. You know, there is a word to describe people like this, people with this condition. It's a word that has a very clearly defined meaning. It's a medical term, and it has been removed from the psychological lexicon, probably because the people who write the psychological lexicon realize that so many of they themselves suffer from this condition. You don't hear the word anymore, but it's pretty clear. And that word is neurotic. Neurotic. What is the definition of a neurotic person? Well, let's have a look. Wikipedia says that according to C. George Borey, professor emeritus at Shippensburg University, the symptoms of neurosis may involve anxiety, sadness or depression, anger, irritability, mental confusion, low sense of self-worth, etc., behavioral symptoms such as phobic avoidance, vigilance, impulsive and compulsive acts, lethargy, etc., cognitive problems such as unpleasant or disturbing thoughts, repetition of thoughts and obsession, habitual fantasizing, negativity and cynicism, etc. Interpersonally, neurosis involves dependency, aggressiveness, perfectionism, schizoid isolation, socioculturally inappropriate behaviors, etc. In other words, neurotic people have personality deficiencies that they elevate into heroic qualities, and you heard some of them there. There are some very, very fine psychologists out there, and I ought to know because I've been to a few of them. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, the best cure for this kind of neurotic, obsessive behavior that the left increasingly exhibits would be to take them one by one and put them out into Red America for a couple months. Just take them away from the echo chamber. Take them away from the evidence of violence and lawlessness and hatred that they've generated in their own cities with Democratic politicians that go back for 100 years in most cases in major cities, something like that. Take them away from all of that. Take them out into the woods. Get them some fresh air, some homemade dinners. Sit around a table with a family. Talk about things other than politics. Realize that there are real people with real problems and good people out there who may disagree with you about certain things. Expose them to different opinions. And most of all, expose them to that kind of kindness and lack of judgment that you often find, usually find, in conservative families all across this country. If you were to do that, it probably wouldn't have any effect on these people at all.